Texas on the banner, faster.
Richardson, the running back. They give it to him over the right side. Dives. He's in. Touchdown. Trent Richardson. Weeden looking right corner of the end zone. Throws. Touchdown. Jordan Cameron. What a beautiful throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Weeden to throw. He's going to go long. Looking long for Gordon. He's out there. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown. No doubt about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
The regular season, September 8th, not that far away. Just in 2 days, the Browns wrap up the preseason against the Chicago Bears. Nathan Zagora alongside the notorious VIC Vic Carucci from the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Vic, we're just 2 days away from the final preseason game. We've got a big show. Hour number one, Doug Deacon will join us. Hour number two, the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, will join us here on the show. Cuts are coming. It's a little bit of a hectic time. A lot of eyes looking forward all the way to September 8th, but there still is one more game to play, and we want to hear from everybody out there as well. 216-578-0850 is the way to get on board Cleveland Browns Daily, or you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. Vic, how you doing today, bro?
I'm doing great, and you're right. It is regular season mode. It's really here. When you approach this fourth preseason game, I see it as the game you just want to get it over with.
Stay healthy.
Just get through. Yeah. Yep. If there's a list of 10 things you want to accomplish in the game, 1 through 10 are stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of where I am. You know, and how they look, I mean, we went through the aesthetic conversation, and we can have a little more of that about last Saturday night's game. But this one isn't about aesthetics. This one is really a get through it. Even the team, just to give people a sense of what the functioning is like in this building, the mindset here in Berea is already fully focused really on Miami. Everything is about setting the roster. You mentioned today is a final cutdown day to get to the 75 that they need to get to by today, and then it's the 53 is the final cuts after Thursday night's game. They're already really in that mode, and the huddling is going on in Joe Banner's, in the personnel office, Mike Lombardi's office. Joe Banner in there with Mike, Rob Chudzinski, Ray Farmer, the assistant GM, all huddling, talking through what the roster configuration is going to be. And I heard it from another person, you know, we're already at the regular season. And in fact, a lot of the scouts who have been made, the personnel people who make the trips to preseason games, were unlikely to see many, if any of them, Thursday night in Chicago, because their focus is just on getting this roster set. They'll watch the tape of that game and make some final decisions there. But Nathan, really, the roster that is going to be the Browns roster for the start of the 2013 season is already under, you know, mostly being constructed or already under serious construction. And it's not to say that Thursday's game means nothing, but it's close to nothing in
right.
that regard.
Absolutely. The only thing that I think that could come out of Thursday night's game is something bad if somebody were to get hurt, and that's really it. There's no upside. Yay, we play good in the fourth preseason game.
Upside.
Okay, there's no upside. There's only downside in this game. So I do understand maybe trying to get a bit of the momentum back, and I think that's why we're going to hear some sound from head coach Rob Chudzinski later on about the fact, the decision that it sounds like some starters, he didn't say all, and he didn't say who specifically, could play 12 to 15 snaps on Thursday. Maybe to get a little bit of the momentum, the good feelings back. He is being coy, and I'm fine with that. If he decides that some starters means exactly one and it's a kicker, that's fine with me as well, because, again, the only thing that can come out of this game really in a significant, long-term, meaningful, or impactful way is bad.
Is bad. Yeah, there's no real good way to approach a fourth preseason game to say, okay, we're going to accomplish X or Y or Z. Now, Coach Chudzinski, he'll come up with a good spin for that. That's
for
what
sure.
coaches are supposed to
they
do.
They have to.
They
got
to sell things. They got to sell to their players, and they got to sell to everybody else.
Well, the only people that it really matters to are those that are fighting for those final roster spots and have one last chance to make an impression and to try to earn a spot on the team. Other than that, for the guys that you know are going to be lining up week one when the season opens, there's not a lot at stake other than staying healthy.
And as we sit here, as we sit in our palatial studios here in Berea, and we look through the glasses, the glass, the the tremendous amount of glass that surrounds us here, where it gives us a clear view of everything pretty much going on around us. Up and down the corridors is a lot of activity, and I see personnel people kind of walking around. I see an unnamed player or two being accompanied by people going in and out, because it's happening in real time as far as the decision process to determine what these next rounds of cuts are. Now, one of the things, and as I say, we'll get into the sound a little bit later from Rob Jedzinski, but one of the things that jumped out to me is, you know, he said this is, you're mindful as a head coach that someone's football dream does come to an end right now, and that,
exactly.
that means something to him as a coach, as a guy who played not in the NFL, but played at the high collegiate level at Miami as a tight end, and someone who feels responsible for a life-changing discussion that's going to happen with a young guy today.
That's the thing. That's the real life of it. And there are, you know, as the Browns go from, you know, 90 people down to 70, into the 70s, down to 53, that means 37 of the 90 people that were here, more than one-third of the people that were here, are not going to be here. And right. You hope maybe some of them latch on. But typically guys who go in the first round of cuts – typically don't find homes elsewhere, and, you know, maybe a practice squad opportunity opens up. But other than that, it's a tough business. It's a numbers game. And, you know, being here in the building, that was one of the things I was actually very cognizant of as I drove out here today to Berea in my beautiful F-150, courtesy of Liberty Ford.
That, it's a sweet ride.
That, you know, there's a lot of real life stuff going on here today. You know, is not just about football. And, you know, I had a real life moment in my life today, taking my daughter Arden to kindergarten for the very first time.
And how did that go?
We'll see. Thursday's the first day she has to take the bus, so we'll see how that goes. But she was a little bit nervous.
A little separation anxiety?
Just kind of the new environment of it all.
Okay.
Whereas we took my son to his first day of preschool, he runs in there, we can't even get him to say goodbye to us. But she was in there certainly wanting to say goodbye, and I think it was a little bit tougher on Arden and my wife than it was on me. But it's a big deal, and you just think, you know.
Wait a minute. You were like the big tough dad. You didn't.
No.
You weren't like welling up with the tears or the just feeling a little like, oh, my baby.
I mean, there are some pictures taken. There are some in the it pulls at your heartstrings a little bit. And you can't believe that somebody, you know, you remember. Holding in one hand is now
milestone.
Going to kindergarten.
It's a milestone. I've been through it a couple of times, and I'll tell you never forget it. It stays with you. But then here's the thing, and I always say this to young dads: hang on to this, cling to this as tightly as you can, because you'll be blinking, and you know the next encounter, all of a sudden you're walking her down the aisle to hand her off to her husband.
That's my girl.
And I've done that, the other things you hope for is watch them walk across stages for high school graduation, for college graduation. You're finding out about a promotion that they got at work, and you're proud of them. And
sure.
You know, these are the milestones that are going to come your way. But today was a big one for you. I mean it.
It
I
was.
Can feel it in my heart. You know,
it was.
It was a big sort of like holiday event, that first day of school every year, really, for the kids. So
it was. I think Thursday when I see her get on the bus at the end of our driveway, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge.
All right, I'll tell this story. So I didn't want to say it was kindergarten. We didn't. Yeah, there wasn't a preschool thing going on back in the day. But there was a kindergarten, and it was a pretty long, lengthy, as I remember, a bus ride. It felt like, you know, the bus ride took like an hour, but it wasn't. But I determined on my own, I don't know how I did this, I just looked at the bus driver. It was a guy sitting there, and I got to the foot of the step, and I look up, and my mom's, you know, kind of giving me the wave goodbye. I turn around, and again, this was the first bus ride. And I look up and I see the guy.
This is your first bus ride.
Mine.
I'm the young notorious VIC.
And I'm looking up and I said, I don't think you know the way to school. And he starts giving me like a little F. No, you get on. I do know the way. I said, no. I don't trust this. This isn't looking good. And I turned to my mother. I said, he doesn't know the way. I bolted back into the house, and my dad had to come home from work and drive me to school.
Which I'm sure he was thrilled about.
He was really happy about
that.
Because I said, this guy did not know the way. And then, you know, it took a little convincing. And I guess by day two, I was
You were on board?
Convinced. First day, wasn't trusting it. Hey, it's a Missouri thing. You know, show me.
Show me. It's a show me
show
state.
Me, you know.
Exactly. Show me, you know.
Not from
it.
There, but I'm just saying.
Sure.
I was that day. I was from Missouri.
I like that. I like that story.
I'll trust
I
you,
like
dude.
It. Yeah, it's and these
There's
are the
something
things.
Something in his eyes. Beady eyes.
Don't like beady eyes. I agree with you. And people with two first names, the only exception to that rule to me is Jeff George. He's the only one that I still like.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. Call us, by the way, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily. Determining that Thursday night's game in the grand scheme of things doesn't mean a lot, that you just want to get through healthy, there's still a connection to the idea that you want Rob Chudzinski certainly wants something that connects with last Saturday night, connecting the idea that the team did not play that well, and as he was talking about, maybe a dozen or so snaps for starters. I'm just wondering if some of that is related, because there are coaches who will say, I don't want any starters on the field at all in preseason game four or the final preseason game.
I think there is a little bit of, let's get the taste of Indianapolis out of our mouth. Let's have one positive drive, one positive series. Let's get out of there feeling good so that when we go into September the 8th, the last feeling we have had on a football field is that of success. And I don't understand why the NFL keeps this fourth preseason game around. I'd like to see them get rid of it. And there's another thing that I'd like to call up the Chicago Bears and offer up, because this year the Cleveland Browns play that entire division. They play the Lions, they play the Bears, they play the Vikings, they play the Packers. Yep. If I'm the Bears, how about I show a few things that I know that the Packers and the Lions like to do? Help the Browns get prepared to take down some of their opponents, you know?
I like that.
That's
not a bad thought at all. Sure. Give them some. I'm sure to some degree that goes on. And you know, it's interesting because, teams have these interdivisional encounters, and then you look at and then cross conferences, cross divisions. I know I talked with someone in Buffalo, and you know, they are so excited there about the prospect of the Bills
of starting Jeff Tool. That's what they're excited about.
No. About the Browns beating the Dolphins. The Bills wanted to see the Browns beat the Dolphins in week one. You know, do us a favor, and then of course, you know, they come here for that Thursday night game in October. But that's how the thought process works. Is like, hey, take care of those guys. That would be a good time to knock them off. I said, the Browns' interest in knocking them off goes way beyond trying to help the Bills or any other, or the Patriots or any other AFC team.
I certainly hope so.
There's very little to do with that. But still, it is an interesting thing, the way teams may think and approach things. The Bears are a fascinating kind of club. They've had a real encouraging preseason, and you almost wonder, too, we're kind of traveling in parallel worlds. Are you going through the fool's gold thing there? Because there's a feeling that, hey, it's giddy like it was last year. They were beating teams in the preseason. They get off to the fast start, and then it all blows up, and they fire their coach. They fire Lovie Smith at the end of the year. They wonder if in Chicago they're going through kind of the same thing now with Mark Trestman, because they're starting to get very excited about this offense,
as they should,
but is it the real thing? They've been burned before. Not unlike what we see here. People got very fired up for a couple of weeks and then got brought back down to earth last Saturday night.
They certainly did, and the truth will be somewhere in between those two things. But I think from a Chicago Bears standpoint, you know, you are living in the stone ages of NFL offenses. When you have Jay Cutler as your quarterback, there's no reason that your team should rank in the bottom six in pass attempts three straight seasons. So I think there's a lot of excitement there in Chicago, knowing that they're actually going to throw the ball a little bit around the yard with Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, whose best season came in his rookie year when he caught 63 passes out of the backfield. Trestman historically has about 30 to 35% of his completions going to the running back position. So I think that if you're in Chicago, you believe in the defense. I think, quite frankly, the defense got more athletic without Brian Urlacher being there. And the offense, I think, is going to be in the modern era and play to the strengths of their players. As a fan base, even though the Browns did not deliver what you wanted to see in that game against Indianapolis, you know from the first 2 weeks, and you know from everything that we've been telling you, the numbers support this as well, and the numbers don't lie, that they are now going to be running a scheme that suits the players on their team offensively. And I think that's why Bears fans are excited, and I think that's why Browns fans are excited, even though Indianapolis didn't go exactly how they probably wanted it to.
Rob Chudzinski delivered some positive news today, or at least encouraging, about Barkevious Mingo, saying that he's began to run, which is a good thing. He's been able to run. That was something he wasn't doing. If he was, he was doing it on a very limited basis as he recovers from that bruised lung. Scary situation with him, but doesn't really want to go any further than that and say, or farther and say, he's going to be in the, you know, ready to play, say, October 8th.
But that's the first step back.
September 8th.
Right.
I hope it's not October 8th. September 8th against the Dolphins. But that's step one.
That is step one. And Scott Petrak, who's a regular on this show, notes on Twitter today that Mingo is on a bike for the start of practice alongside Desmond Bryant, Chris Owens, and Brandon Bogutay. And I think that is obviously a good sign, because I think there was some uncertainty around it that was starting to perhaps worry or scare people a little bit. And the fact that he's going to be getting back to physical activities, I think, is a very positive sign. And whether he's back for September 8th, obviously you'd like him to be, especially against a team in Miami who seems to have tackles that will be susceptible to his style of a pass rush. You know, it's just good that it sounds like this is not something that's going to go on and on and on and on. He's making tangible progress running at practice today.
You're right.
All right. When we return, we will talk with Doug Deacon from the Cleveland Browns Radio Network here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4, Nathan Zagura, and Vic Carucci. Coming right back.